Guys, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than at a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a free special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code CODE. All you have to do is pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code CODE to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Saturday, June 9th. I'm Chris Manning, your host from ThroughTheSword.com, and today it is the end of the Cavaliers season. The 27-18 season is over. The Cavs lost Game 4, in case you didn't know, and were absolutely drubbed in Game 4 behind a big second half from the Warriors. The Cavs were swept by Golden State, now are 3-1 in the last 4 years against the Warriors in the finals, and it sets off what is going to be a very interesting offseason. We are not going to do a full recap of that game because I don't think anyone, including myself, really needs to litigate that. The Warriors are just a much better team. They broke open the game in the second half, and then it just got ugly in a hurry. There were some interesting moments at the queue. I was covering that game and talking to fans. The mood in that arena slowly got worse and worse as the night went on. You saw people getting just quiet. You saw in the third quarter when things got out of hand, the crowd basically just went silent after being very raucous and into the game to start the game. And it set off a half where LeBron checks out and got a standing ovation from the crowd that was left because some people did leave. Post-game is what we're really going to focus on, the fallout from this and where the Cavs go from here. We're going to have a ton of great coverage coming up on Fear the Sword in the coming weeks. We're going to be talking about the draft, talking about player reviews, everyone on the roster this season who is currently on the roster. So no Isaiah or Jay Crowder, but the guys that finished the season with the Cavs, we're going to talk about them, including Ty, who did say he's going to return next year, by the way. And we're going to get into the offseason, the cap, the free agency previews, the Cavs' various options they're going to have. But today's show is just going to be fallout from Game 4 and where they go from here. So today's show is, again, brought to you by Blue Chew. And you can listen to the entire Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Cavs, on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you get podcasts. The best way to support the show is to go on iTunes or Stitcher and leave a 5-star rating and review. If you do that, you're going to be supporting the show and helping us get more eyes on this podcast. So thank you for doing that. I do want to say thank you to everyone who's listened this year, given feedback, good and bad. You are what makes this show great. And if you want to reach out to the show and contact me in whatever way, you can always reach me at lockedoncavs@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrights. And you can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at LockedOnCavs. But let's get into today's show. The big takeaway from LeBron's media availability was what he had to say about his future. Quote, this is what LeBron said after the game. Quote, I mean, I have no idea at this point. The one thing that I've always done is considered obviously my family. Understanding especially where my boys are at this point in their age. They were a lot younger the last time I made a decision like this 4 years ago. I've got a teenage boy, a preteen, and a little girl that wasn't around as well. So sitting down and considering everything, my family is a huge part of whatever I'll decide to do in my career, and it will continue to be that. So I don't have an answer for you right now as far as that. LeBron also did say that he wants to remain in, quote, championship mode. He said he declined to give a straight answer, understandably, because it was sort of trying to get him to elaborate on what he meant and maybe pigeonhole him to some kind of decision. But he is someone I think that is not going to tip his hand. He said he wants to remain in championship mode. He talked a lot about just everything he's been through and everything that went into past decisions. So it was an interesting answer without him really saying anything new, to be frank. But this is sort of, I think, the tone setter for what we're going to be getting covering this team, following this team, thinking about LeBron's decision in the coming weeks. He has 20 days between now on June 9th, and his player option deadline date. So we are not going to get, I think, a clear answer until LeBron does it. This is a guy that keeps his circle very tight, who does not leak very much, who is going to play this close to the chest. I don't expect him to make a decision on July 1st. I don't expect him to really inform the Cavs of any significant leanings one way or the other ahead of time unless he really wants to push his way out one way or another or says he wants to stay. If he does one of those things, it honestly makes it easier on both sides to move forward. If he waits until June or July 7th or something or July 4th, things get complicated. The NBA maybe is going to wait on LeBron. I would expect them to this summer still, but it becomes harder to do things without proper planning, and then you're throwing things together last minute, and then things get complicated. It's honestly better, I think, in my opinion, for both sides to know where they stand ahead of the draft. If the Cavs want to make the pick and go for the highest upside because they know LeBron's gone, maybe that makes Michael Porter Jr. more attractive than Mikal Bridges. But if LeBron's staying, maybe you want to work out something where that pick becomes a something another team wants, and you flip that player, whoever it is, for McCollum, Paul George, Hobson, Kemba Walker, what have you, whatever possibility you want to come up with. I don't think that's going to happen. I think based on these comments, based on what we know about LeBron, he's going to take his time. He's not going to give the Cavs an indication, and he's going to consider all of this. Brian Windhorst wrote a really great piece about how LeBron is going to have to sacrifice something in this decision, so I'll put that in the show notes, and you can read that there. But this is a complicated decision. LeBron clearly still feels like he has something to give. But what does that mean? What does that mean in the context of his family? What does that mean on when he's going to inform teams, etc.? There's a whole bunch of factors in this, but I think this his comments here where he says he has no idea, I think he's clearly going to have thought about this before. He's someone who I think does think ahead, even if he hasn't vetted every single possibility. But I do think this was the tone setter for the offseason. This is going to be waiting on LeBron. And when that happens, things get wrong. The Cavs are waiting on him. The league is waiting on him. And until he declares himself and says, I want to play here next year and with these people, then everything just sort of is on hold. LeBron also came to the podium with that broken hand. Not a clean break, and there is a picture that indicates the swelling. So the people out there that were truthing that injury, please don't do that. That's crazy. But he said he played the last three games of the finals with pretty much a broken hand. It came after he hit the whiteboard or a chalkboard or whatever it ended up being, probably a whiteboard, after the J.R. Smith incident in game one. He said, quote, when the game was taken away from us, I had emotions of you just don't get an opportunity like this one on the road versus Golden State to be able to get a game one. And I just let the emotions get the best of me and pretty much played the last three games with a broken hand. Obviously impacted his play in some way. It obviously came after what was his best performance of the finals, one of the greatest LeBron performances in a finals game ever, to be frank. But it ends with him getting two MRIs. He's been wearing a soft cast when the media was not around. It was actually a point of laughter in his postgame presser when he put it up on the table and you hear the cameras shuddering and going off and him kind of joking about that. But this came after they blew that game one. Everyone by now, I believe, has seen that video of him on the sidelines. This adds to that. It doesn't change anything, really. He had that right hand injury, obviously, is on a shooting hand. It's not ideal, but I don't know if the Cavs are winning this series if he has a healthy hand anyway, but it just adds another layer to the insanity of game one and the insanity of everything that has happened this season. It's sort of fitting in a way that the Cavs season ended on the craziness of that, considering the other bajillion crazy things that happened this year, ending on LeBron James having an injured hand and being swept, and it happening after just one of the craziest finals miscues of all time in J.R. Smith's case, just it's a fitting end to just a nutty season. And LeBron, it's a physical representation of just the sort of beating LeBron took this year and getting to this point and dragging this team as far as he could. And then it just not being enough and him just being left with the Warriors for the second time in 4 years celebrating on his court. That's a tough pill to swallow for anyone. It was a weird mood in the queue. You could tell that the locker room was sort of dead. Everyone kind of cleared out pretty quick, but it's a lot. That hand injury really, I think, says a lot just about how emotional it got in game one and how gutting that was. And that's a tough thing. And I'm sure LeBron will be healthy next year. It doesn't seem as if this was something that obviously kept them from playing, but pretty just another layer to the insanity of the season. The other only news, I guess, that comes out of this is Ty Lue was asked point blank if he intends to return. He said, quote, "Yeah, I do. I had some tough problems going on throughout the course of the season, and I probably could have folded myself, but I wasn't going to do that." Ty has 3 years left on his deal, which was originally worth $35 million over 5 years. Dan Gilbert had tweeted a voice of support of Ty last week. Lou is 128-77 as a coach and 41-20 in the playoffs with that one title. Ty also said, quote, "I knew that even if I wasn't feeling 100%, I had to get back for the playoffs. That's my time. That's my moment. I didn't want to put our coaches in a situation. I didn't want to put our players in a situation, and I had to fight through it. That's what champions do. I gave everything I had." LeBron also said, in terms of LeBron, that he hopes LeBron comes back and is on the team next year, obviously. But Ty's future is also, I think, interesting. I wonder what his interest would be. Purely speculative here, but I wonder what his interest would be in coaching a rebuilding team or a team going through the middle. That money is obviously a lot to walk away from, but if he's healthy enough and LeBron comes back, I'd expect him to be back. I do think there are limits in him as a coach. I think the roster certainly did not do him any favors. I also think it'd be interesting to see what he would say if LeBron leaves and they rebuild. If he's interested in that, and if he would just take the paycheck, because that is a lot of money. But I also don't think the Cavs are really in a position to just eat that money again. And I'm not sure Dan would want to do that. I think where Ty is going to be back next year, as long as he wants to be back next season. Not a whole lot else coming out of this, really. I mean, the Cavs were out of there pretty quick. The Warriors were out of there pretty quick. LeBron wrapped up an incredible season. He played all 82 games. He scored a career high in points. He averaged almost a triple-double. He was great in most of the playoffs, and it was not enough. That is, to me, frankly, the story of this Cavs team. LeBron James, at age 33, with all the miles and minutes on his body, what he did at that level was just not enough to make the Cavs any better. They went through all the trades. They went through all the drama, all the craziness, and made it to the finals, but were just outmatched by the Warriors. For the third time in 4 years, they lost. For the second time in 4 years, the Warriors celebrated a title on the Cavs' home court. And there's a big gap between this team, and they also saw the rise of teams in the East that are going to push the Cavs if LeBron is back and surpass him if LeBron leaves. Their summer is going to be complicated. Their summer is going to be one of very complicated decisions and waiting on LeBron and deciding on what to do in a number of areas. They have to, aside from LeBron, decide what to do with Kevin Love, with J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, Larry Nance's contract extension eligible, Rodney Hood, your restricted free agent. You know, how do Jetty and Zizic look in summer league? What do they target in the draft? There are so many big things coming for this Cavs team that this summer is going to say a lot about where this team goes in the next five seasons. LeBron, obviously, it starts with LeBron, and it trickles down from there, but this is going to be a very, very impactful summer on the future of the Cavs. Regardless of what LeBron does, this is going to change the Cavs in some way. This is a team that I think will not be the same group we see coming back next season. One way or the other, I do think change is coming to the Cavs to some degree. Don't know how much, don't know how drastic. And again, it starts with LeBron and what he decides to do, because they're going to wait on him and dictate their summer on him, as they should. But it's going to be a very eventful summer in Cleveland. But that is it for today's show. A very uneventful game four for the Cavs, an uneventful finals after game one. They lose three, they lose in four, losing on their home court. The Warriors celebrate another title. Kevin Durant wins MVP, and Curry was, you know, unbelievable. But the Cavs are in a tough spot here. They're waiting on LeBron. They're going to have to make a whole bunch of tough decisions. Again, this is a crazy summer for them. We'll be following along here at Locked On Cavs. You can subscribe again on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to podcasts. We'll be back on Monday with a deep dive look at the Cavs season. TBD on the guests, but we're going to have a long conversation about this Cavs team and this Cavs season for Monday's show. We'll be starting draft coverage and play reviews next week, so please subscribe and listen then. Check out Through the Sword as well for all your Cavs coverage and the latest news going on with the team. We'll have full draft coverage and free agency coverage up there all summer. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWMWrites. The podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Lockdown Cavs. And thanks again for listening. Thanks for following along this season. We'll talk to you again on Monday.